even bump into.
Best theme song in the game.
But in fact, remix coming soon. We got Wilkins, Mr. Black, Janelle from the HR. Best. Not even into the mic. What's wrong with you? You acting like you fake rapping over there.
Nah, man, I freaking.
The way you suck your teeth, oh boy. Jobber Nation, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, whatever time you're listening to this episode. Welcome to another rendition of the Jobber Tears Podcast. As always, I'm Janelle from HR, here with Sir Wilkins and Mr. Black, and we're trying out something totally new today. Like, we are stepping outside of the box and bringing someone virtually into the studio today.
Just called us Roddy Rich, because we hit it out the box.
Pause.
Bars.
Pause.
Bars. Pause. We started early.
Pause.
Why is that pause? He said he's hitting it out the box.
It just didn't sound right when he sounds like, whoa.
That's
so rough.
That's because you're getting old.
I'm not hit.
The new slang don't hit
hard. The 30 plus one.
Before we get started, though. So, y'all ever heard of Y.N. Melly?
Yeah. That's my dude.
So, about a year ago, he released a song called Murder on My Mind.
Yeah,
right?
It's about him.
Hold on. So, at the time, I was teaching, and I never heard of him. And one of my students was like, yo, because I took them all out to lunch, and we were sitting down eating. He's like, yo, did you see this? Another one was like, yo, I just saw it. He's going to jail. I was like, who? Y.N. Melly. I was like, who is that? Well, the song Murder on My Mind is basically him walking through him murdering his friend. It's legit.
So he snitched on himself.
He made a whole song about him murdering his friend.
Damn.
But I listened to it. I was like, this song is amazing.
Yeah.
It is such good storytelling. And
still in jail?
Yeah, he's in jail. He's done. He's Haitian too, so I got to show him love though. Sac passé.
Oh my God. Anyway, so as we were saying, we have a virtual guest with us this week. Typically, you know, in regular show, people would introduce themselves, but I don't. I let the person introduce themselves. So, young man, introduce yourself to the nation of jobbers.
I will say this. That's the first time in a while that I've been called young man. My name is Cal, one third of the Black Wrestling Podcast. I also run Pop Culture at Complex Media. Shouts out to anybody who fucks with me and fucks with wrestling and fucks with the Jobber Tears. And if I said too many fucks that early into the show, I apologize.
No.
We don't got sponsors. Like, they really stayed clear of us.
Like, if we had a bleep sound for everything we done said the past how many episodes, we'd be off the air.
I think just we're trying to cut down saying the word nigga.
Yeah, that's the only one we were like, all right, consciously. But then sometimes we just don't give a fuck. So either way.
Niggas.
But
I'm glad y'all let me know that now, because, I mean, people who listen to Black Rats and they know what the tagline for the show is. So I'll keep it low. I'll keep the N-word ratio low.
I mean, you do what you got to do. It's okay. It's all love.
Say less than nigga. Let's go.
There you go. But once again, shout outs to Black Wrestling Podcast, to Earl and Matt down in Baltimore. I love you guys. Thank you guys. So if you ever see like that hoodie, like Black Wrestling, that's them. Those they family. So we thank you for joining us this week on Jobber Tears Podcast.
Solid podcast. I enjoy them. I just don't advertise.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
No, they're good people.
We're gonna go visit.
Now
the wrestling, Black podcast community got some fire.
It's amazing.
Yo, it's the funny thing about it, like the podcasters stick together, but the fans be low-key try to divide us. I'm looking like, yo, you can listen to everything you want. It's free market. I don't care.
Shouts out to the Black Announce Table crew. They're
solid.
They definitely listen to that podcast and they kind of don't really focus on anybody else. So, but that's dope. I mean, hey, it's just, y'all can spread the love. It's other podcasts. Y'all got another hour or two in a day.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's what, listen, we support those that support us. So definitely appreciate you joining us today. Real quick.
Hold on. That's that Aki Berry?
No, it's some different flavor. No, it's not even a flavor.
Sherman Shot. Smart Energy.
Who?
It's not even,
put up to the camera.
It's not even, how you giving free advertising to people that don't have the sponsors?
Y'all sponsor?
No.
We just
on that level.
They out here shooting their shot for sponsorship.
I'm with it.
Listen. I enjoy caffeinated beverages.
They both do,
and so does my brother. Yeah. So we're gonna suit these shots the entire time.
Because clearly, I can't have a bottle of Henny here, so they gotta have energy.
Who said you can't?
But hold on.
Because y'all not gonna drink it.
Wait.
I would.
Wait. You would not. Wait. Hold on.
Don't do that.
If you're gonna bring cognac in the building, it might as well be Douce.
Oh,
because you know why it's Douce?
Drink of champions.
Drink of champions, and it's also for the our people.
Because
Hennessy ain't fucking with us.
That's what I heard.
But you know what? They might be now because they need us. Because we put them on our backs, us in the Asian community. But we know what? Cal's here, so we're not going to talk about
Asians?
Liquors.
Asian be fucking up.
I was not expecting that either.
Okay, story time real quick.
Expect the unexpected with us.
All right. Before we finish, I'm sorry. Story time. So, one of my best friends who passed away, shout out to Scotty, rest in peace.
Absolutely.
Sleeping in heaven, doing a bachata dance. Mm-hmm. He's a black dude. Big old black dude.
Yep.
But... Before he met me, he was only fucking in the Asian community. And if anybody knows the New York City, the education system, if you went to Brooklyn College, most of your friends were Asian. Okay. That's just how it was. Yeah. So most of his friends were Asian. He grew up around the Asian community, all went to Chinatown. And he used to always tell me, like, yo, fuck that regular Hennessy. We don't drink that here in Chinatown. It's only privilege and above. Regular Hennessy is
that's
trash.
That's how I met, actually.
Regular Hennessy
is
trash.
That's definitely Matt. All that privilege.
Matt is definitely
But he was
privilege.
Just like, yo, because I, and then I hung out with him in Chinatown. They drinking Hennessy out the
bottles.
Ass.
Oh, boy.
Privilege, too. They're just drinking it. Drinking Hennessy. It's that's Asians true. and Asian in the black community are the ones who keep Hennessy
alive. Wow. There you go. Well, before we do start, we do a recap of how's everyone's week going, what's going on, what's new. So we'll start off with our guest, actually. Cal, what's new or something you've watched this week on TV outside of wrestling that caught your eye, you want to talk about real quick? Go right ahead.
You know what? Because it's spooky season and because I run the movie TV section at Complex, I've been watching a lot of horror. And
okay.
And I don't know. What did I revisit the other day? It's an old... Death by Temptation. Have y'all heard of Death by Temptation?
No.
No.
Wow. All black 1990s, like literally 1990 horror film, not only includes Rest in Peace to Bill Nunn, aka Radio Raheem from Do the Right Thing, but Kadeem Hardison from Different World stars in that
you
as well.
You said Death by
Temptation, DEF. It's about this this vampire type woman who goes to the bar. And she picks up dudes, and then the dudes never come back. So they got to figure out what's going on.
Oh, it's on Prime.
It's on Prime. Yeah. I think you might need to subscribe to BET Plus to get it. But yeah, I think that's the okie doke. But you can also rent it on YouTube if you really wanted to. It's like $3. But yeah, if you're black, you like horror, and you grew up somewhere in the 90s, and have appreciation for that, that's one thing I watched just the other day, and I'm glad I rewatched it after like. 20-30 some years.
So box office it made $2.2 million.
That movie looked like it looked like it was made for about $400. But I mean, they did a good job with it, and like you said, they ended up pulling $2 million off of it. So
yeah, it earned the film grossed over $2.2 million. That's wild. Okay,
crazy.
Putting on the to do list. Yeah. Mr. Black, what's something new and exciting you watched this week?
I just finished. I didn't think this finished, but I'm catching up to Lovecraft Country.
Oh, okay, yeah, HBO.
Yeah, like, you know, real solid. You know, I just like it's crazy. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Like the whole series is crazy. Like I was never into like fantasy stuff, but now I'm really into the mystics because like I'm really into like numerology, horoscopes and stuff like that. I'm into like the planets, like. Different, like I'm super into that. That's a whole other story. I don't want to get into that. Shout out to my black gothic people out there. I love y'all. You know, I love y'all guys. Look, you know, y'all definitely coming out there. Be strong. I love y'all. But Lovecraft Country, I love it because it's just so black. mad black. It's blacker than black. It's ultra black. You know, ultra you know, black. Max, Michael Blackson black. Not Doja Cat black.
Oh, Michael Blackson, Blackson black.
So you're going to use that Nas line? You're going to try to sneak that Nas line in there?
Of course.
Like, nobody's going to peep. He was trying to be cute with it. He really tried to
sneak. He out here dropping bars and felt real gangster about it. It was like, it's okay. We still love you. It worked. It worked for the situation.
I don't know why that was so funny, but it was he.
Because he slid it in. That's why. Because typically he's loud with it, and we would have been like, "What?" But he slid that in real nice.
I've been going back to my heritage, listening to more hip hop music. I've been listening to a lot of like Tyler Creator, Okuda Friends, a lot of those like. Because I love backpack rap. I love it, love it, love it. Like. You obviously see like just like a freaking backpacker rapper half the time with my backpack, all these colorful stuff. But I realized that Nas was one of my favorite rappers. You know, like that's number one for
me. Yeah, I had watched me and Mikey had watched that Shantae thing.
Oh
on
my
Netflix.
Gosh, that is
I watched
my
it real
movie.
Recently. That wasn't what this week I watched, but we watched it like maybe 2 weeks ago.
It's solid.
And he goes, he's like,
is he baby Nas?
He's like, yo, guess who's that? And I was like, who? And then literally she asked me, like, what's your name? And he said, Nazia. I was like,
that's a
what?
Nice name. I might name my son that.
It's actually
Nazia.
A really nice name.
Yeah, Nazia Petitfrere.
Sir Wilkins. What's going on this week? Since you finished Dakota Kai. Wow. Cobra Kai, excuse me.
Cobra Kai is done. Greatest, one of the greatest shows on Netflix, on YouTube. Shout out to YouTube Premium, because nobody fucks with it at all.
I don't know why, because, yo, you get a solid package for $14.99. No, I think $12.99. You get YouTube Premium, and you get Google Music all in one.
But I think the reason why is because it's mad glitchy. Their music app, it's low key glitchy because I've used it. It's not good, and also they came in so late in the game where Apple, Spotify really have most of the market.
But here's the thing though: YouTube is trying to make you use YouTube Music. Like, they push you to use it.
People are probably using more than... Because, actually, I feel like I got an email or something the other day from Apple Music. Like, we miss you. He's free 4 months. And I was like, what?
Yeah. And then Apple... Apple did like something recently. I was listening to the Joe Budden's podcast a while ago where they packaged, like, 5 things and you pay, $20.
Yeah, that I think that's coming out soon. It's Apple Music, Apple Arcade, news and like 2 other things in a package, and I think and actually it's better because if you get the family deal for just Apple Music, you're spending like $14, but it's just 5 people can play music. I think on this, it's they can play music, they can do the arcade games, they can do it's crazy the value you can get for $20.
Yeah, and it's so good of a value that Spotify was trying to sue Apple. Because it was like, yo, you can't, this is unfair. What are you doing? But what I'm watching right now, so I finished watching literally all the Untolds.
Oh.
I watched all of them, and then I watched, like, all... Because I love documentaries. Like, I love wrestling documentaries.
Too.
So I was watching, like, all the documentaries on the
network.
The network. And my favorite one was the FCW one.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
wow. Why?
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was really
you watched
good.
It?
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's... So... And this is, I'll make this quick. I'm not trying to be long-winded because I want Cal to get some thoughts into this. But we always, as wrestling fans in general, we complain that WWE doesn't use their talent correctly. Mm-hmm. They bury talent, blah, 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 blah. But I'm watching the FCW thing and I'm just like, yo, a lot of these guys are still working in WWE with like legit successful careers.
Absolutely. Yeah. Homegrown. That's the only thing.
And then one of them was Heath Slater. But, you know, he's gone. But he was there for mad long.
But I think if he didn't go through what he went through in the E, he wouldn't be able to be noticed and Impact right now.
Yeah, he wouldn't be noticed at all because they're going through all of it. And they're like, because FCW was like before NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Triple H takes it over and then turns to NXT. But if you watch those early years of them, of who's involved, like Dusty teaching them promos, like, and then the more talented people were there. But the real standout of that documentary to me was Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. It's not for what you think it is. Because he was angry.
Yeah, exactly. I was to say that.
He was angry coming in. And he was mad because WWE has their way of doing things. And he was like, yo, I came here as the ROH champion.
Yeah.
And
oh, he came in privileged as well.
This guy is getting called up before me.
Yeah.
Y'all told me I'm just here to adjust a couple things. And he was legit very candid in this documentary about how he felt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was like, this is some bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because I found out something the other day, and I'll share it with you guys. This is from like borderline the horse's mouth on this situation. It's about Finn. So remember when Finn dropped his title to Samoa Joe?
Yeah.
Like some random house show?
Yeah.
Do you know why he dropped it?
Why?
He was tired of being on NXT. So he flew to Ireland and said, fuck this.
Wow.
He said, fuck this. I'm not doing this anymore.
Nah, look, he's back in NXT.
But hold on. Which is
the
funny.
The irony of the situation.
He's because and the reason why I bring him up, I'll tell you in a second, is because he had went to Ireland. He's like, I'm tired of this NXT shit. I don't care about the money. I want to put me on the main roster. So I guess they went out there or they spoke to him over the phone. Like, yo, listen, come back. We'll give you a push. Drop the title. We'll give you a push when you get there. That's why he was the first Universal Champion.
Yo, they turned that whole shit into a documentary, though.
What?
Because that was on the network. They turned it into where he had took time off. He went home. They made a whole shit about it. A whole special about it. He went home. He went in Ireland. He wrestled a few things. He went back to the school where he trained at. I think Regal had flew out there, had a conversation with him. You saw his parents, blase, blase, blase. It all led up to the SummerSlam. They literally recorded all of that shit.
But the thing is, that wasn't the reason why.
That's hilarious.
The reason why was because he was like, fuck this.
I'll be back. I got called someone.
Okay.
Don't walk in front of the camera.
It's a little hard.
Can you get down? Yeah. So that's the reason why but it's like it was hilarious because I'm watching. I'm just like, yo, this is crazy because Seth is a dick, but now he's such a company man now.
Oh, absolutely, like, he rides WWE to the end of Dom.
Yeah.
Real quick, this week for me, oddly enough, I got back into Bridezilla on WeTV. It's a whole new season, but literally the episodes I watched, the first four episodes, were all black women. So I was mad hype. I was like, oh shit, this is great. Because if you've ever watched Bridezilla, it's always some like trailer park white trash, low key, just being real ignorant and crazy. But it was a bunch of black bougie bitches, and I was excited as fuck. It was a girl from New Orleans. It was a girl from Texas. It was a girl from Long Island, and I couldn't figure out if her daddy was black, white, Puerto Rican. I was so confused. But Bridezilla was good, and then actually going back to the Halloween, I'm starting to get into some Halloween mood too. So I actually watched this Netflix movie called Creep. If you've ever seen it.
Did I see that was set in like South Central or something, right?
No,
that was a black horror movie?
No. So actually, it's actually a creep too. But the first one, it basically is this guy puts an ad in the newspaper. He wants a photographer for like a day to record his whole life. He made up some cockamamie story about how he had cancer and how he wanted to record it for his son since he won't be able to live to see it. And he literally had the guy there all day. And then the guy ended up, he made the story about the wife. The wife was actually his sister. And then the sister told the guy to get out, like, yo, leave the house right now. He's crazy. And then he starts stalking the guy. And it all led up to the guy, like, being vulnerable, feeling bad. He was like, oh, you know, he wants to apologize. He invites him to, like, an open space in the park. Yo. He killed that nigga right in daylight with an axe, right in the head. Like, he came up from behind him, hit him with an axe. Yo, I scared Mikey the fuck down. I was like, yo! And then he was like, what? He was looking at me like, what the fuck is wrong? And I was like, yo, he just killed the shit out of him. Like, oh my God. But it's called Creep. It's on Netflix. And it's a Creep 2. I'm going to watch Creep 2 within the next few days because I was like, yo, this is wild. But all right, that's this week for us. Let's jump into our guest, actually. Cal, tell us a little bit about yourself. You mentioned you work for Complex. So just give us a roundabout of, you know, your resume, what you've been up to and things like that. And we'll go from there.
Well, I mean, I've been at Complex this past September. It's been 8 years.
Damn, do you have a stock in it yet?
How about that? Hopefully, maybe next year.
Okay.
For the last 5 years, I've been in their pop culture department, and for the last two, I've actually been running the pop culture department.
Need an intern?
What's up?
Need an intern?
You still want to bring up coffee?
I need a lot.
What you need?
I'm dead serious. I don't do nothing besides
just. There's a staff writer position up right now. Go to jobs.complex.com or whatever if you want to apply. The department is me right now. It's been me for a bit. So I mean, if I need, I need all types of help. But yeah, there is an official position up there.
You better take it. I don't know how to write though.
Boy, well, you're all the time. Why you stop?
He was a lie.
Dang. All right. So
continue, Cal. Sorry. Like we out here encouraging the brother to take a job, and he's out here. I can't do it. What?
For a while, I was one of the only few pro wrestling fans at Complex. So I've been able to interview a lot of random people, but like not about pro wrestling. It's always about some random stuff. Like I talked to Big Show about the Scooby-Doo movie he was in. We talked about other stuff, but like that was a premise. I barely got to talk to wrestling with John Cena, but we got a little bit in there. I did get the night Goldberg returned to Raw, and I talked to him the next day.
That's been
a lot of cool people. I met Roman last year in Chicago when he was doing his Hobbs and Shaw promo run. But yeah, so I've handled a lot of that stuff. I've also. For the last 3 years, me, Fam, and Math have been doing the Black Wrestling Podcast. Actually, I think we're probably on the road to 200 episodes at this point.
How did you guys connect? Like, where's the connection?
I mean, for people that don't know, Black Wrestling, it used to be like me making a really shitty podcast on my breaks at work. I was such a big pro wrestling fan, and I listened to a lot of like Juan Epstein, shouts out to Rosenberg and Seif, and like just like podcasts in general. And I was like, I could do that. So I would record it on like my BlackBerry during breaks and then edit it at home. And I probably did like 50. Actually, I stopped doing that because I got the job at Complex and I wouldn't have time. But in that time, discussing like Raw and just wrestling in general on Twitter, I got to meet Fam and Math because I had a rap blog. And I don't know if anybody's heard that Math used to be a rapper, but you know, I posted his music.
That's every black person trying to be a rapper.
He out here spitting. You done open up Pandora's box. I gotta ask questions.
He may or may not still write, but he used to rap for a minute. He was. There's videos out there. I'm not going to send links, but if y'all want to go on YouTube, you can find something. But we connected initially off of that, and I think in the time of me stopping the podcast, they started their podcast, Where's Buffy? And
the body
at a certain. No, just Buffy from Buffy the Human Beatbox from the Fat Boys.
Back okay.
I definitely thought Buffy. The same.
not Buffy the body though. Shouts out to her.
I mean, she did have a body.
How many?
See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
But at one point 3 years ago, it would have been before the Royal Rumble 3 years ago. The Fam hit me was like, "Yeah, we've been doing our podcast thing. We love pro wrestling. Would you be down to bring Black Wrestling back with us?" And I said, cool. Mind you, we hadn't really talked. We didn't really know each other at all. Mm-hmm. So like the first episode that we recorded was a recap of that Royal Rumble. And that was like the first real phone conversation we had.
Wow.
And we've been doing that ever since. We've not missed a week, although some of us have not been on episodes. We shouts out to StreamYard. We started using StreamYard over the summer as well. It's been really cool. I mean, the merch game has been interesting. It's not like there's like profits off of that, but you know, it is dope to put a design out there and have people. Well, I mean, because people are really into the hoodies. It's at the point now where it's like the last time we dropped these, the Black Wrestling Mania hoodies, Matt was like, I don't know if people are going to want them. I'm like, people are going to want them. He's like, I don't know if people are going to want them. Like, trust, just put them out. He put them out and it was like 10, 15 orders that night. It was like only that afternoon. Uh-huh. It was that night. So, there something happened where we just clicked on that. But, I mean, it's really all just to drive back to, you know, the conversations we're having here. You know, black folks talking about one of our passions, pro wrestling.
Absolutely. So, top of the question, favorite wrestler of all time?
Of all time? I really want to say Too Cold Scorpio. I'm not firm on Too Cold Scorpio.
Because he's too cold.
But
you're going to do this whole show. Okay. I see where this is going.
If you look back at old Too Cold Scorpio, I mean, just the fact that it was a black dude doing all that, you know, moonsaults and that shit amazed me when I was a kid. But when you start to realize how, I mean, I don't know if he's credited for, you know, just how innovative of a lot of he's still doing that shit now.
Facts.
Oh, absolutely.
Facts.
We had saw him. We walked past him.
Too Cold?
Yeah, when we That's went crazy. To Winston-Salem, when we went to, shout out to WrestleCade. When we went to WrestleCade, we were going to one of the shows, and literally he walked past me and Wilkins, and I was just like, yo, Too Cold Scorpio.
Too Cold Scorpio's up there with D'Lo Brown for me.
Oh, really? Because mm-hmm. D'Lo's pretty high for you.
Oh, my gosh.
D'Lo's
what is it? The real deal. Wait, what is it about D'Lo for you?
Oh, my gosh. Let me break this down for
why
you.
Why did you ask that?
Oh, my for God. One, for one, he was the first ever black brother I saw on screen with the swag. With the neck movement and everything. Confident with it. And he wasn't laughing, nothing like that. When he got in the ring, he got busy. The best ever European champion. He put that title on his back and made it relevant. The first ever two-time European and IC champion. And the fact that every time he came out with a European champion, he was coming from different place in Europe. Like, one minute he was from British, one minute he was from this place. Like, the fact that he got so into character. Like, he took bumps like a pro. It was believable. The fact that D'Lo knew his role in WWE. He didn't have to talk. Like, his whole movement, everything in the ring, spoke for him. And when he did talk, you meant something. When he came back, when he said, "Are you down with the Brown?" Oh, my gosh. I was down with the Brown. I was definitely down with the Brown, B.
Sounds like anal sex.
Yeah, I was like,
grown, so I don't care. I don't do that.
The first time you said it, I was cool. But then you said it twice, I was like, it's rough.
I'm channeling my inner Dr. Umar, because he be saying stuff like 4 or 5 times. You know, y'all don't watch Dr. Umar videos?
No.
Am I the only one? Donations.
Yeah, donations. The black man. Yo, that's my dude, Dr. Umar Johnson.
Dr. Umar Johnson is...
He's on coke, though. I heard that.
He has to be on coke.
He's coke?
Have you ever watched his videos? Like, legit watched his videos?
Yo, hysterical.
Have you watched his videos, Cal?
Yeah, I've seen him. Cocaine, though, that's crazy.
Right, like, that's extreme.
No, but if you watch it, you can tell, because there was one video... This is... Well, some... He was outside just recording, and he was looking around.
Yeah, for no reason. Yeah,
he's like, they might be after me.
Yeah,
he saw the boys out there.
You in the park.
Yo, what type of
yo, Dr. Umar
controversy
Johnson,
did he think but he was
listen,
in?
Dr. Umar, reason why that I respect him, I don't respect the fact that you've been building the school for like 50 years, so that's a whole other story, but I like the fact that he definitely spotlight the whole system from how the school system basically get a tax write-off for every person they put in special ed. Because I am the product of the special ed education system. So I understand that. And they try low-key putting me on medication, comes to find out. He said something that was really great on Nick Cannon. He said, the child don't know what side effects they have. So they don't know to say, this is affecting me, this is affecting me, this is affecting me. Compared to adult, when they take a pill like that, they could say, doctor, this is affecting me. This is affecting me. Like, I like the fact he spots like young men in the special education system. Because you, come on, we all know that majority of our fans are the product of the special education system.
We don't know that.
Who says that?
I took AP chemistry, so I listen, don't know what you're talking about.
I know.
Well, the thing is, maybe the niggas you talk to, but half of the people I know.
Nah.
They won't say that to you because it's embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing.
Yo, it was not cool to be a special ed. You got to make fun of. I got to make fun of.
No, I think then that was the case. But like, as an adult now,
I think it's more open. But,
especially if it's something that's relatable to you. So yeah, you probably would know more people that experience that because you would be open enough to say like, yo, I experienced this. And then they would feel comfortable and they'd be like, oh, you know, me too.
Because so, and most people that our fans said talk about the ADHD, which I have. I have really bad ADHD.
And a lot of times, they put us in special ed.
Yeah, but the thing, I wasn't put into that.
But you were smart.
No, I was not. I mean, so are you. No, I was not. The thing about it, what a lot of people don't understand is, a lot of people don't understand is that a lot of ADHD kids, which is what I was, they know that they have something is off. So they work 3 times as hard.
But you have to understand.
To offset it.
Your smartness.
No. I'm talking about this from experience.
From
the children that I taught.
Right, okay.
So a lot of the children that I taught were wrestling fans as well. And they'd be like, yo, I just got diagnosed with it. But they're top students because a lot of times, if you are really in, know who you are at a younger age, it takes a lot of kids to understand this. You know your flaws already. You work around them. That's the thing with a lot of... That's the thing with the education system. A lot of people don't learn the children. So if you can't read a certain type of way, you have a misspelling problems, whatever, they don't teach you how to get around that.
They didn't. Like
so when I was growing up, I read extremely fast. My ADHD is awful, is like retarded. So I'm already three words ahead in my head, but when I'm reading out loud, I sound crazy.
I have the same problem.
But the thing is, my teacher pointed it out to me and was like, "Yo, hey, slow down." It's not that's not the education, it's the teachers. Okay. But we need to move on.
However,
I was going to say this.
We'll talk about it after.
Talk to Cal, go.
I was going to say something that was actually going to bring it back to I have kids, but trust, I was going to bring it back to something you were talking about earlier, because you were talking about how Seth at the time was not happy with how he had to go into the WWE framework and learn how to wrestle that way. I think that's the problem with a lot of folks when they're gassed in the head and they feel like, oh, I was XYZ champion on the indies, I'm going to WWE, let me just roll. But there's like you said, there's probably things that a high flyer can do that someone else can't, but that high flyer can't do the mat wrestling, or they can't do this. Mm-hmm. So that's why they're doing all the flips and stuff. They want to still put on a good match, but they want to do it without exposing their weaknesses. That's all it is. But I think that's why someone like Seth, who is already talented but doesn't have the WWE, you know, teaching, would be that upset going into the
game.
That
doesn't make sense when it comes to wrestling, because the one thing I realize is everybody has some level of geniuses. You know, let's break it down. In real life, there's some people who's the expert at sports. They could break down a play, blah, 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 blah. But you're giving them a mother effing math problem, they look at you like, I don't know how to do this. Sure. The educational system, no. It's all right to wrestling. Like, it teaches you just one way. And it falls into how everyone teaches this. You know, in the indies, they teach you, like, back in the day, it was just like, go out there, make people come back to get tickets for the next day. You know, when you go to WWE, AEW, stuff like that, it's more of a structure long term. WWE is now realizing that a lot of these performers cannot talk, so we got to put the promo in there. We got to do this. We got to do certain stuff to mask these professional wrestlers. Look at Andrade's, right? Andrade's and my son Angel Garza. Yo, they put Selena Vega to mask the fact that they're not prolific. Ooh, shout out to Prolific, the wrestling group. Shout out to y'all. They're not prolific in English. I watch an interview with them. Their English is not the greatest, but Selena Vega was able to mask it.
Oh, Andrade, I told y'all, when I saw him in New Orleans, he didn't speak. He had an interpreter. So I told y'all he didn't know how to speak English. But anyway, I want to ask Kyle a question. So since we all are in this black wrestling community, what are your thoughts on the current state of black wrestling, whether it is independent, for what you know, or from, you know, professional on the WWE, AEW side of things? What are your thoughts on that?
The one thing I didn't mention, Black Wrestling Podcast does the BRP 50 every year, and that's probably one of the hardest things to do, is to try and figure out who the top, or at least your idea of who the top 50 black pro wrestlers are in a year.
Who was your number one last year?
Number one last year was Kofi.
Okay.
Was it Kofi? Was it Kofi? Yeah, it was Kofi.
Yeah,
I think the thing is one thing Math told me a while ago is it's hard to compare a Bianca Belair. There was a conversation with Bianca Belair and Lacey Evans a couple of months back, because they were talking about how is Lacey still in this position, but Bianca's in this position, when they started NXT at the same time and Lacey got on the main roster first. It was a whole, but the fact of the matter is, I don't care what anybody says, Lacey in that ring is not doing what Bianca Belair does ring.
Come on,
Bianca, Ricochet, they're all supreme athletes. And it's not to say that there aren't white or other races counterparts that are pro wrestlers that are really great and can do those things as well. But I think there's so many black folks that are exceeding the norm, whether it's, you know, high flying. You know, you've got a Keith Lee who we don't even get to see what Keith, and that's my problem. Like, you can't go on TV and say, look, this big black motherfucker, he can flip, he can do all this shit, and then when you get in the ring, he's getting beat by Randy Orton. And it's not even like, I'm fine with a loss, but like, I didn't see him flip over the top rope for like a month. Like, these are things that were normal with him in NXT. It seems like they were cool with him having no shirt on and the Royal Rumble against Brock, but then when he goes to the main roster, he's got these little singlets on.
It's fine. It's okay.
I don't think they understand a lot of black folk that are on the roster, especially in WWE, but I think in general. And I think there's black folk that are so good, but there's so much in the pro wrestling industry that it's barriers for a lot of people. It's hard for some folk to even get on a main roster in the WWE in it or an AEW, let alone some of these other indie organizations. That's why it's dope that, you know, the Pan-African World Diaspora Championship is out there. So someone like Trisha Dora can challenge, you know, these dope black folks that aren't getting the shine. So I say all that to say, I think there are a lot of talented black men and women in the world of professional wrestling. I'm just hoping that at some point an organization or, you know, some entity starts to really elevate that stuff. We got Big E on the cusp. He needs to be in a world title picture soon. Not now. Very soon. Yeah. End of the year, maybe beginning of next year. He needs to be in the something.
He's definitely one of our top Rumble winners. If anything, if he were to do something.
Just to piggyback what you said, you mentioned that Keith Lee, different attire, right? Mm-hmm. I compare it when you see that big dude who has similar built like Keith Lee as a bodyguard in the club. He wears mm-hmm. the tight shirts to, you know, define his muscles, you know? And I see why Vince is doing that. You understand? Because you don't know if Vince kind of low-key tell him, like, yo, you got to shed some pounds so your muscles could be more defined. Because if you look at the Mark Henry type of character, you realize during his world championship run, he cut way a little bit. And you saw he was more defined, more cut up. You're like, ooh, you felt that intensity. And Vince you don't know who's in Vince's ear telling him that, yo, Keith Lee is the big dude. He should not be able to do, so you limit him to do certain type of stuff. Where at NXT, you got Trips, who sees the future. He sees the bigger picture, but it's not Trips' company at all.
Is that weird? Like you don't find that weird, though, that, like, because he won both titles for the NXT as the dude we've seen him. And then maybe, like, 2-3 weeks later, he's on the main roster. And it's not that he's a different person, but it's definitely a, like...
It's a different version.
Well, but it's like, and these are TV shows that are on the same channel. Why is there such a big...
Because you have people, I think, also, too, you got to keep in mind that you have people that literally will just watch Raw and SmackDown. Yeah. And they WWE. I know someone personally that does not watch NXT. Never been a takeover. Yeah, yeah. Doesn't even watch it. Doesn't even care for it. Only watches main roster stuff. And it's like... For that, for someone that's never seen Keith Lee on NXT and they get introduced to him, that's just that's their face value. That's what they're going to see first.
It does make sense, though, because we all work for various different companies. You know, let's compare it to him and Complex, right? You have, let's say you have the Complex YouTube division, and you got Complex Magazine, right? You may be able to do what you have to do and excel in the Complex Magazine division. That's a whole different boss, totally different culture. When you go to a Complex YouTube, it's a different boss, different culture. So it does make sense why a person can be in the same exact company, but then presented two different ways. You know,
I'm glad you made that because I think my only problem, and it's only based off of being a wrestling fan for so long, it's like following ratings trends and, you know, demographic stuff. I listen to that stuff every week, and I'm not saying I don't believe that where it's two totally different companies, but I think at the end of the day, the pool of wrestling fans is a lot smaller. And I think you're probably going to be in a situation where there's an average wrestling fan who watches some NXT and some WWE, as opposed to a totally clueless person who only knows WWE and doesn't know NXT at all. I think the majority of the pro wrestling fans who are watching, who are listening to podcasts on Twitter, whatever, I'm going to assume that they, at the very least, saw Keith Lee at the Rumble.
That I
remember him. But because I think the other thing with the comparison you were making, while it is true, and I mean, I work at Complex, so I know that there's a lot of times where one hand doesn't know what the other hand's doing. But at the end of the day, it's still that same audience. At some point, they're all going to have to be driven to that same. And I'm not saying that. I'm not disagreeing. It's just I always just question it, and I think it's because we're not going to know any of this until, you know, Vince passes away and someone starts writing that tell-all book.
That can never happen.
I think one of the thing is, I think my brother touched on it, and we all kind of touched on it a little bit. It's the fact how NXT is run, and I guess we'll talk about this later when we talk about AEW and everything of that nature. Because somebody because we weekly we do what questions you want to hear from us to talk about whatever. And NXT is run very independent style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Keith Lee had a name in the independent scene. Very good name in the independent scene. So when he comes over to NXT, you kind of keep that whole independent feel of who he was from the independent scene. Because it's like, yo, you did well in the independent scene. Learn how we work here, and we'll throw you into the fire. Where you go to WWE, it's the complete opposite of that. It's, yo, you're up here, we got to change some stuff around. Because a lot of times in Vince's eyes or whoever's working it, they are like, this is the main roster. You're in a bigger pool, bigger audience. So we have to change certain things around to, you know, help that audience resonate with you.
And connect with you.
So it does. So I think that's one of the biggest things when a lot of time people go up and they don't hit. It isn't like they were never good. It was just that the changes have to be made in their eye. The upper management, like, yo, we got to change things up. His ring attire, I think it was because he's a little bit on the bigger side, and we all know what Vince likes. Tall, muscular dudes, like, you look a certain type of way, and you got to cover up a little bit. That's why he's never been a huge fan of Samoa Joe, because of his age. Also, Keith Lee's on the older side, too.
All of them are older. Yeah.
So he's on the older side, too. So that plays
anything
a factor
over
in
35,
it.
In their eyes, it's like, oh, you're grandpa.
But that's just how I think happened with Keith, where it was in NXT, we're going with Keith Lee from the indies, who now works for NXT.
Yeah.
Where WWE, you're going from, this is WWE, it's a whole different world. There's a whole, it's like the multiverse. Like, we got to, like, Spider-Man from this multiverse is not the same Spider-Man as this multiverse. Am I correct? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's different. And I think in this verse, which is WWE, they feel they got to tweak it, which he doesn't. Because, like you mentioned before, that Royal Rumble was fire. He made a statement. So, but I don't think they fully understand it. Sometimes the people who are in Vince's ear are out of touch. I don't think it's Vince per se. I think it's the people that he trusts that are in his ear that are out of touch. So.
No, 100%. I mean, Kevin Dunn, I don't know what he watches or listens to. I don't know. Like, their creative team is probably a bunch of, you know, no disrespect, a bunch of, you know, white dudes. I don't know what they're into.
It's not disrespect. It's the truth.
It's true.
Well, I mean, shout out to Kaz. I know Kaz worked there. I don't know what their makeup is right now, but
It wasn't the same when Kaz was there. Let's just say that. Let's call a spade. It's not the same. So
what'd you say? Kaz was the one pepper shaking in the salt shaking.
Yeah, he was the one that he turned the situation upside down, and they didn't know what to do. And then when he left, it was like, well, we're gonna go back to, you know, same old, and it was just like what?
It does make sense though, because let's be serious here. Majority of wrestling fans are a bunch of white people. And a lot of times, like, you hear on the internet how they body shame people. OD. Mm-hmm. You understand? Like, for example, Cardi B show her nipples by accident. Everybody say, oh, look at those nipples. I'm looking like, yo, y'all don't like breasts or something like that? Like, yo, like, y'all people just gay in my eyes. But nevertheless, that's a whole other topic for another day.
Yes.
But is, like he said, though, like, a lot of white dudes, a lot of white people only see, a lot of white wrestling fans, they want the wrestler to be a certain type of way. And I see it on these wrestling groups all the time. Like, for us black people, or hardcore wrestling fans, white or black, whatever, they understand the concept of, like, yo, Keith Lee's good, blah, blah, blah. There's other people who just watch, like you said, WWE, just watch Raw and SmackDown. You could tell by the ratings that's all they see. So when they see Keith Lee, I see it all the time on Twitter. Oh, what this fat black dude doing on here? Blah, 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 blah. He's
fine as fuck.
No. him being Randy Orton, it's so fake. Da, 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 this, that, a third, blah, 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 blah. So who knows if who's ever in Vince's ear had that same mindset?
It's, the thing is, it's, I guess we'll finish it up soon. It's what we talked about last week. It's casual fans versus hardcore fans.
Yeah.
And casual fans see things a certain type of way. They understand, like, you look, it's all about how you look.
Yeah.
But I think it would work better if he took his shirt off, because he looks more intimidating. Right. Because with the singlet on, he looks like this fat dude.
He looked better when he had the shirt.
No, he doesn't need nothing on, because the thing about it, he looks more intimidating that way because he has broad shoulders. He has like a solid chest and he can move. So they're not thinking 100%, but I guess it is what it is. But I guess we can go to the what's next on the docket.
Actually, you know what? Let's just talk about the draft real quick while we have our guest here. Let's talk about this. As everyone know, we're kind of going into a whole new season. The season premiere of SmackDowns this week. The season premiere of Raw. That's weird as fuck. But I was just like, okay, they're dragging it with the season premiere shit. Yeah. But everyone knows we've gone through the 2020 WWE draft this past week.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been saying this, I feel like, since SummerSlam. You never see it coming shit. They really keep driving this in low key every week. Like, it's ridiculous, but it's so good. Mm. So SmackDown, they started off night one with SmackDown and the dissolvement or the separation of New Day has occurred. You know, everyone is in their feelings a little bit, but it's a good thing, I think, and we'll talk about that real quick. So we had Big E stays on SmackDown, and then your new Raw tag team champions of Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods are on Raw, and then you had Bianca Belair drafted to SmackDown, which I thought was a really good pickup for them. She should have been on SmackDown from the beginning anyway, but that's neither here or there. What other, like, high... Oh, Seth is on SmackDown now. The Mysterio's on fucking SmackDown. Don't know why.
That's his hometown, baby. Rey Mysterio was SmackDown at one point.
Rey Mysterio is not under a full WWE contract. So
I mean, like, at one point. Yeah, at one point.
Which I'm not mad. Honestly, he's tricking the system. Like, getting paid per diem and getting your whole family a check, that is gangster. Like,
let's really talk about that. He is doing what you're supposed to do. He is doing what every second, third generation wrestler does. They get into the business, they do well in the business, and they set their kid up. Randy Orton literally
Bob set him all the way up.
Literally was kicked out of the armed forces, and his dad was like, "All right, cool, come with me. We're gonna go down to
development. Go talk to Vince.
We're gonna go talk to Vince and get you set up." Like, I see it all the time online about people's like, "Yo, Dominic is getting blah 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 blah." Yo, if I'm Rey Mysterio and my kid wants to wrestle, I'm putting him on. And the thing is, my kid is not bad. I don't care what he's not a bad wrestler.
He gets better weekly. I would like to see him do a little more training, so it's a little more positive. But I think compared to like Ric Flair's son and some of these other sons.
Oh my god!
I'm watching 1999. I watched Uncensored the other night, and then I've been in the 99s and WCW times, and woo!
That's a terrible. I did that last year. I was following a radio show, and they were doing. They were doing Retro Tuesdays. They did the Raw and Smack, the Raw and Nitro every week from 19 years ago, or whatever.
So
and
rough.
I think 99, especially WCW, that was an awful period.
Yeah, because the 99 was the year it was the whole Goldberg shit and the Taser shit and all that happened.
It was like a year or so before they dipped, and I mean, there was a reason why they did when they dipped. It was fucking terrible.
It's trash.
Yeah, and like.
Go ahead.
No, I'm going to say my brother's right, though. Like, you do what you have to do.
Absolutely.
And you do forget, at one point, they did Rey Mysterio dirty. They held his contract for mad long so he won't sign nowhere.
I mean,
so,
they do that with anybody. They did what they don't discriminate
No. I'm not talking about everyone else. Do not all lives matter this.
No, I'm just saying.
You are all lives matter this.
Do they not, though? Do they not hold people low-key hostage for 90 days?
It wasn't. No. It wasn't 90 days. He wanted out his contract because they was not using him. That's why. That's what happened. It was a whole campaign that he had. He said, "I want to be free off my contract." They did him dirty because they was not using him. They was sending him in weird feuds and stuff. He's like, "Yo, I want to out my contract." This is when, like, after he left, he went crazy on the indies. He went to Lucha Underground. He put Lucha Underground on his back, by the way. That's not the point here. He's on some like, "Yo, listen, everybody wants me. I'm that dude still. I still look the same exact way that I look
money coming to him, yeah.
Exactly. Either way, he don't need the money. He's always wearing Louis Vuitton masks.
Yo, wifey, be set up.
So if what he did was he did the same thing that Kobe did with the knees. So he got cell rejuvenation. So He got like another solid 10 years on his body because he did that. He did that. So
yeah. So at the end of the day, you set up your son, and guess what? Not only that, it makes sense. Dominic been on screens forever, dogs. He been there when him, and his real dad was fighting for him in the custody. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Nah, hold on, hold on. I'm gonna go with my brother.
No, listen.
Cal, I was watching. Eddie, so that's one thing I watched over the weekend was Rey Mysterio and Eddie.
Come on,
that whole feud.
Oh, come Lord. On,
man. Yo, Eddie had me convinced that was his kid, bro.
Because he's so good. Eddie was so, that's his kid. Eddie was so.
That's his kid.
Eddie was so underrated on the mic, even in the WCW days. And like when I look back, even with the LWO shit, I was like, yo,
LWO.
He made shit real
and
sound good.
It makes sense. Why it's a coming age story. When I tell people, like, you know, a couple of my homegirls, I was watching wrestling, and she's like, yo, who's that? Yo, that's Rey Mysterio's son. Yo, that's him? It's exciting. It brings back old fans to come back, like, let me see how Dominic is doing.
Without
that's
bringing business a part-timer. 101. That actually is smart. Without bringing back a part-timer, they get people to reminisce, like, oh, shit, remember when?
Little which Dominic? Yeah. Now, you know, he big Dominic. You know, he like,
you know, that's everybody. That's everybody back.
See what I did
black?
There?
Yeah, I
see
did.
What I did there?
This is the whole show. Yep. All right, so back to the draft. Trying to think of some heavy hitters that switched. Kevin Owens is now, I think, on SmackDown. AJ Styles is now on Raw. Knew that was going to happen. Really excited about that. Braun is now on Raw.
Okay.
Is
he on Raw or SmackDown?
No, he's on Raw.
He's on Raw.
He's on Raw.
They put Lars on SmackDown. I think they didn't want the both of them together.
Yeah, which was weird because it was like a rumor talking about they wanted Lars versus Braun. And I was just, first I was like, why? But second of all, I was like, well, how are you going to do that now? But,
what are your thoughts on Lars?
And DMs and stuff. How does he still have a job?
Yo, yeah, I'm going to answer this question later about the DMs.
I thought it was funny when they booted him. Where he wasn't able to go because he was racist a while ago.
He was racist and he did gay porn.
And he did gay porn. I'm not saying I forgot about it because I didn't watch it, but I remember there was that image. But anyway, so he did all that. He was supposed to perform. He had anxiety issues and then was injured.
Then got injured. Yeah.
And now he's just back. I don't know. Like, they weren't able to build him. I don't really care about him either way. I mean, he's Heidenreich. What was the one dude who kicked the baby?
Goodbye, Snitsky.
That's him. That's him. That's 2020 Snitsky. Right? He looked the same. They just big dudes that throw people around. Like, what? Can he talk?
Yeah.
No, he can't.
But you know what's so crazy though? I actually really enjoyed Lars in NXT days though.
Yes, like, yes.
Lars Sullivan in NXT was definitely
Keith,
like
right? he wrestled Keith a couple times or something.
Yeah,
or?
Like he was.
What NXT days? He barely was there.
But they were nice. They were good.
Like listen,
they were all right.
I don't know what are you talking about. I am with Cal on this one. He's not good.
But here's the thing: NXT once again, shout out to Trips. They didn't overexpose him.
No, I understand that. But the thing is,
I don't know
even
how he's on the even main roster.
Even on NXT, dude wasn't that good. If we can go down the list of stuff that you're like, yo, what is this? He doesn't look great in any type of way. Let's just be real. He's not a great looking dude in the face.
Absolutely not.
He has bad teeth. You don't look
terrible.
At teeth. I look at teeth.
He look at teeth and feet. Those are his two
so, and then the thing
it's
about
combo.
And the thing about it, he's not like
a two
ridiculously he's not ridiculously tall or like
crispy
he's just big.
Crispy.
His moveset ain't nothing crazy.
Oh, there is no moveset. So I will give him that.
So
there is no moveset.
I don't know who loves him up. Who loves him so much?
Vince
must love him. But the thing about it,
I don't know.
There's nothing special about him.
He doesn't have the it.
I feel like okay,
he's just a big guy.
There's nothing special about
him. Okay,
but what's crazy? What was crazy about it though? And when he was in NXT, my guy was always in the main roster. Like he was always in the title picture.
Yeah.
He was always in like one of them, like Fatal Four Ways. I think he was in one of them ladder matches. Like
he was always
in one of something that like put him like up. Like his name was always in a conversation.
Okay, this is my opinion when it comes to the whole DM situation. Right, the DMs. I saw it. It was nothing too crazy. He just said it. He flirted. He shot a shot. He got blocked down, and that's it. It wasn't like he didn't send a dick pic. He didn't go inappropriate after that. He just said, yo, it looked like a regular dude shooting a shot. Now, all the dudes complain like, oh, no, why you going to do that? I'm looking like, yo, listen, real talk, I see some of y'all niggas DMs to these females. Y'all are disgusting.
Yeah, and unsolicited dick pictures are not okay.
I bet you, I bet you it was one of our homeboys, like Lawrence and Ronaldo, you said, yo, you're a wild boy. You will laugh it off and don't think nothing of it.
No, I'm not. Listen. At the end of the day, you are a WWE superstar.
If it was Roman,
no, hold on.
The girl would not say
nothing. Hold on. I'm gonna finish it. You are a WWE superstar. And if it was Roman, probably wouldn't get it. It probably wouldn't say nothing. But at the same time, there's a chance that somebody will screenshot it, send it to their friends, and then their friends will send it to something. It's not about him doing that, because one of my homegirls gets DMs from him. And
Lars Sullivan?
Yeah, and then he pays for her OnlyFans page.
That's pretty dope.
Yo, bro, man, why you say his business out there, B?
She didn't say who.
I didn't say who.
I actually want to know
why you say, like, Lars' business out there?
Oh,
he a pervert. He a horny dude.
So the problem, yes. The thing is, yo, you need to be better. That's really what it comes down to.
I see a POV.
Because it's PR at this point, because you're looking crazy. There's nothing wrong with sliding a chick's DM. But the thing is, you gotta be cautious.
You gotta be cautious and mindful. You're a
WWE superstar, because if you look at the DMs.
Because Luke Gallows was, I'm shocked that never really hit the way that it was supposed to hit. Because fucking Luke Gallows was in mad young bitches' DMs, and no one said nothing.
Luke Gallows was in my homegirl's DM who doesn't know wrestling.
Yo,
she texted me. Legit. She texted me, like, it was right before TakeOver. She was like, I know you're into wrestling and everything like that. Do you know who this guy is? I was like, who? And she's like, Luke Gallows. I was like, he's a WWE superstar. She's like, yeah, we're supposed to meet up. He's going to be in Brooklyn this weekend. Blah, 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 blah.
Horny man.
But the prop, listen. There's nothing wrong with it, but you got to move the right way.
Can't move crazy. Like, you can't move like, essentially,
it's
you can't
track
move.
Record. It's
essentially,
track record.
You can't move like a regular person.
I think that how that, you know, really like, manage the whole gay stuff, like the gay porn he did back in the day. That's before, that's pre-WWE. That's none of my business. You want to do gay porn? Like, are you gay for hire? That's your business. You know, you feel me? That's none of my business.
But I think the main thing was the Reddit stuff.
Yes.
That really got everybody in their whole feelings,
okay,
because it was like,
okay,
yo, like, how do you bring back the guy that clearly was out here saying racist shit and no one said anything? It's almost like you're protecting a racist, and it can go one or two ways, and can either we all sit here and kumbaya about it like we typically do, because that's what WWE does, is the Men in Black shit. They make you forget that this shit ever happened, or it hits the fan and everybody revolts and it becomes something bigger. But Lars
it's almost like this is the company that brought Hulk Hogan back after he said all that racist shit and they let him go for a bit.
Oh, listen, this is the same company that covered the murders. So we can go for days on that.
It's the same company that had Snuka and Mr. Fuji talking. Never mind. Let me chill.
Talking wild shit and he's out here murdering bitches.
Yo, Vince said, you know, yo.
Okay.
In the briefcase.
Vince rolled
dogs
up to the police station and was like, yo, let me speak to your sergeant real quick. And he had a whole conversation with a briefcase in his hand. And Jimmy Snuka was out for fucking 30 years.
Yo, Vince was
not touched.
Yo, Vince was original.
Vince made
Carabasket.
Jimmy Snuka so untouched. It was ridiculous. So then when they came out with it, the Dark Side of the Ring, and everybody was like, what? I was sitting here like, how did y'all not know this already?
No, because the story was out for a while before that.
A year, decades.
But go ahead.
The funniest thing is, this is how much of a ridiculous racist Vince is. Vince will show up to the police station with the briefcase, get his man's out the clink, have him free, and then never
and then
give
bury
him
a
and world
bury
title.
Him.
No, hold on. No. It ain't racist. That's some bullshit. Listen, it's bullshit.
He
fucking
but
got him out and did nothing with him.
How much money was Jimmy making that man?
Hold on.
Oh no, Jimmy was making mad money though
at the
time.
Jimmy was making mad money, but you have to understand something. You're getting in trouble all the time.
Ah, he was.
He
was coked up.
You make me money. And the one thing I learned I read about Eddie before he dropped the title, when you're a champion, you are the face of the company, one.
Word.
Number two, you have to be on time. You got to be doing mad appearances.
Jimmy was late
you
all
are
the time.
All over the place. So the thing about it, you know what? You know what, Snuka? You do make me money. I'm going to get you out of here. But title, you just proved
but
to me I can't put a title.
I'm always going to put you number two. Mm. That's what happened.
Which is why Which is why,
like a side chick.
Look at the people who have been champion for a long period of time. Cena. Cena's a company man.
Mm-hmm. Roman. Super clean.
Company clean. Man.
Kofi. Don't forget Kofi.
Kofi. Company person. But look at RVD. Man gets the title. The thing is, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yo, but then how the fuck Jeff Hardy keep getting into like shit? I need somebody to answer that for me.
I don't like Jeff Hardy.
I don't either. I've always been a Matt fan more than Jeff Hardy.
Matt was to me. Okay, this is my. Oh, let's talk about this. Don't get me wrong, Jeff. In my eyes, he got better in the ring as years go on. But I feel like Matt was a more complete package. Let's not forget, Matt literally reinvented himself numerous times.
Absolutely.
Don't forget that tough storyline. Matt Hardy version one. Yo, I was a Matt and Two follower, B. And the fact that he had
my nigga came back after finding out his chick was smashing his bestie, came back
and made a storyline.
Fought them niggas and then ended up propelling himself to a whole different level.
But you have to understand, like, even though we're gonna say that most of us probably preferred Matt here, Jeff sold merch.
Oh,
Jeff,
my gosh.
Jeff was the epitome of
that time period.
Look, he had emo.
So it worked. And the thing about he was doing high flying shit like on mainstream television, so you're like, it's gonna sell. I understand why you put him. I don't personally like him, but you put the title on him. But the thing about it, I think most of his time in WWE, he was messing up, but not messing up to the point when he was in TNA and other promotions.
But man had a whole duffel bag full of shit.
I know you got to go soon.
This is a good conversation.
But Cal, real quick,
you should have me back. You should come back soon.
Listen, you're always welcome.
Look like Zordon up there.
I'm dead.
Zordon,
facts.
What you want to do?
Actually, this is like history making, though, because you're literally the first person we've ever done this with.
I appreciate that. I love being able to pioneer shit. That's dope.
No, listen. People be out here trendsetting. You know, you gotta set different levels.
Mm-hmm. Just out here working.
Good name this episode, Zordon.
No, we're not.
Come on, RP to the greatest, man.
It is the great. Gosh.
You know what? I was gonna name it Black Wrestling. And then,
that's really just basic as fuck.
No, I was going to use their name.
Oh, okay. That's
You know what?
Because, Kyle, I heard him say that, and I was just saying,
I
know you thought the same thing. I was like,
because I was going to say, because there was another podcast that we were on that ended up doing that. I'm not going to name names, but there was a podcast.
You can.
I mean, shout out to Emilio Sparks and the folks over there. Okay. They had us on, and they called the episode Wrestle Rap. They called it Black. I think they called it Black Wrestling with a WRASSLI. But yeah. I mean, if you don't want to do that, you can call it Zordon. You can call it whatever you want.
Nah, Zordon is fine. But we're just going to use your picture.
Yeah. But that's definitely going to happen. Real quick, Kyle, just, I guess, with the draft and everything, what is your opinion right now in the current state of wrestling? Like, I know we spoke about, like, you know, in terms of, because, you
he
know,
made
with black
face.
Wrestling.
He made that face.
I know, because everybody does that face, and it's okay. With a mixture of, you know, what's, because, you know, you mentioned you follow the ratings and the demos and things like that. So with a mixture of that, what is your, you know, opinion on the current state of wrestling right now?
It's a time. I'm surprised that I'm bored with some things. Like, I'm surprised that I don't like. I try and watch AEW. I was actually talking to the homies this morning. I try, and a year after AEW beginning, I thought I was going to be more into it, and I just there's something. I'm tired of Jericho. I think the problem is I'm tired with a lot of the old guards that are kind of just there. You know what I'm saying? They could be good, but I really want to see the new blood. So I think I'm in a mixture of hating the fact that they just switched the tag team titles with the black tag team champions on Monday Night Raw, but the fact that the Street Profits are now like they're the first ever Triple Crown tag team champions.
Like,
cheating us.
Shit like that, though. No, but I think that shit is great. Like,
I feel like they should at least have like a match. Like, still switch the titles, but say,
you're right.
I'm determined. Like, you know what? Let's determine who's the best tag team in WWE.
But I mean, that's what you essentially kind of have Survivor Series for.
But I think it also, you save it for Survivor Series, but fans are weird. So let's say, for instance, them two fight, and
they're going to trash it.
New Day loses. Now people say New Day looks weak.
Or they hate Street Profits.
So you know what? Save it for Survivor Series because it's less on the line. It's more like just some bragging rights. But it doesn't make anybody look too weak. You know what I mean?
I mean, again, as someone who's I hate when the champion comes out first in a championship main event match.
I do too.
I,
We all hate it.
We all hate it.
But you know what? Some people can't hate it because they keep fucking doing it. Like, I don't. If you got the title, you need to give me 10 minutes after this person go in the ring. Let me make my entrance so I can get the proper respect. I don't. But I mean, and the fact that they just handed the belt, I hate that. But again, R-Truth could be a 700-time 24/7 champion. Give them those. I want to see it. I don't care. Give it to me.
Championship?
WWE?
What? No, he's talking about the 24/7 title. And you know what's so funny? So earlier, right before I came here, I actually watched. So low key, if you haven't watched like Raw Talk or Talking Smack on the network, it actually is a real. It's a real treat. I will say that. Yeah. I didn't at first. So at first I was like, even before then, because they tried to do it before, I was like really hesitant. But I had watched this one in particular because they were still doing draft stuff, so I wanted to catch who was getting switched. But fucking R-Truth on that fucking Raw Talk
with AJ.
What, fucking AJ?
He was so...
So AJ was asking him,
did you
like...
catch it? No.
AJ was asking him basically like, yo, catch this one. AJ basically asked him...
I'm going to post a clip on the
AJ
page.
Asked him, like, so, how do you win this 24/7 title? Like, just mad nonchalant. Like, so how do you do it? And then Charlie comes in, low-key trying to tell him how, but R-Truth is selling the fuck out of the entire segment. He's just like... But you're a cheater. Like, why would I ever tell you? Like, what do you mean? Like, are you serious? Like, what do you, like, let's get him out of here. Like, he's trying to, like, he's like, so AJ keeps going. He's like, so you need an official referee? Like, he just kept elongating everything he was saying. It was golden.
Oh, it's not, that was the clip that I caught. So, that's funny. But the clip that I caught was, so he was like, so you on Raw now. Cool. You do condos?
He said, you build a house?
You build houses? And then AJ Styles, once again, and this is when you have good wrestlers on this show because they'll bounce off each other. And then AJ's like, what? He was like, you know, no, you build condos, build houses. Condos. He's like, I know you build SmackDown.
That's good.
AJ was just like, yo, you're weird. Like, what the fuck?
And then he was like,
like, I didn't build anything.
And the thing about it, what made it better was when R-Truth was just like, what? I'm about to ask for your card. Come on, man.
Like, yo, he was talking to him like he was a real nigga. Like, it was hilarious.
Is R-Truth
so fucking
has
gem.
Not have a lengthy rant, run with, like, even like an IC title. When he was U.S. champion for a little bit,
right.
Yo, I felt that his matches, he like, upped the game to the matches. Honestly, I know that some people don't like R-Truth. R-Truth is the dude that everybody respects. The fact that he did interviews with people that he didn't have to, you know, he did interview with, the mixed tag. He didn't have to do that. And every time he's in a program, he's elevated with the whole Little Jimmy. Yo, at one point, I want to meet Little Jimmy. And honestly, him being WWE champion, I feel like it will give a new, like, twist to it. Because I know that he will up his game, realize that I'm champion. I know what I have to do. If you want to catch some of his work, go to YouTube, his NWA title reign. Oh,
even
gosh.
The impact days. Classic. But I think with R-Truth, though, I think when it boils down to it is, you know, once again, when you're WWE champion or Universal champion, you're the face of the company. And I think he's at a time and place where he just wants to have fun.
So give him the IC title and, then.
I think he's just in a space where he just wants to have fun, and the 24/7 title allows him to do that. It doesn't allow him to be serious because, honestly speaking, when you're the title guy, you got to either be the serious guy, and that's not him. So and it goes, but
like
it goes
that.
Back to like people like questioning like, can Big E be serious? And it's just like, watch them NXT days, you'll see. Yeah.
But my
watch that talking smack,
right. I agree with you, but at some point, I'm sick and tired of once you're champion, you gotta be a certain type of way, blah 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 blah. But yet, when you go to other forms of martial arts, other forms of like combat sport, UFC, you have a guy that who's doing a Dukins. You know, you have a female where she dressed up cosplay at different characters. Yo, my thing is this. We got trained when it comes to wrestling, a champion gotta be one type of way. No, that's not right. We live in an era where different people are succeeding for just being themselves.
No, there's nothing wrong. I don't think she means like that. I think when R-Truth he's later on in his career.
Yeah.
Why take so many bumps? Why do all these matches where I can... And he has his own podcast on the network.
No, the game show.
The game show. Yeah, he has his own thing. He's on Talking Smack every week. He's 44 five-time champions. I think he's later on in his career. He don't need to
be, and he's a rapper.
Yeah, you don't need to be doing all of that. I think, like she said, like, he's this one. He's chilling. Like, Titus O'Neil knows, like, I'm not going to be that title guy, but the thing about it, I'm the brand ambassador for WWE, which helps elevate my platform.
So you know your role.
I can release my
and
book.
Shut your mouth.
Like nobody has to, like, I don't think everybody has
I like
to,
that one too.
To be champion. Nobody has
it's
to
be I don't think a serious
be,
thing.
Be,
it's
be
just.
Chief. It's just, you know, just chill out. And you mentioned, like, to be serious. No, it's not to be serious. It's, like I said before, you're a figurehead now. You're representing the whole entire brand. You mentioned UFC. UFC doesn't they have to be WWE. They have to switch it because they're always so serious. So they have to be. Because
even look at Ronda. When Ronda came, and even still, like I think her whole like maybe even title run, like when Ronda came, like she had her whole face is a grill.
Yeah, because
it's a whole serious one. Like, you never think, and I think sometimes that's where, for me personally, the disconnect came from, because I was just like, sis, lighten up just a smidge.
Because
like,
you don't have to be charismatic.
I have a thing about all the time.
Your work stands for itself, but the thing about it, though, you're just fighting. Like, I know who you're talking about Izzy. He's a UFC champion. Izzy, the reason why he's like, people talk about him, because he's really good in the ring.
Oh, shit. Ty Lue is now the coach of the Clippers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But also, like, Izzy does all of that. It helps him stand out. Okay. So it's a whole different ballgame. But okay. Back
right.
to Kyle.
Kyle, any last words or anything you want to say before
or do you still
you...
have to leave?
Yeah, I mean, you.
I do still have, I unfortunately do have to leave.
All right. So any last words in terms of what your current state of wrestling feels? And then you can once again plug, you know, you and the guys. So go ahead, love.
Well, it's kind of a little bit of both. I mean, like Issa Rae said, you know, we're always going to root for everybody black, and I think that's my stance in pro wrestling right now. Even if I don't really rock with you like that at the base, I think we still have to make sure there are more. It is extremely important that more black faces are in prominent roles in any
capacity,
federation, whether
yeah.
it's WWE or you know your mom and pop that's throwing a backyard wrestling thing tomorrow night. We do that on the Black Wrestling Podcast. BlackWrestling.com is the website. You can find everything there, past episodes, links to subscribe, links to merch. We do have I think there's just t-shirts left of the Lockhart t-shirt. It's a dope.
Shout out to Darius Lockhart.
Yeah, shout out to Darius Lockhart. And because we saw him with like the beret and like the Black Panther vibe a couple years back. And so it's that inspired a twist on the Black Panther logo with this one now. The hoodies are gone. T-shirts should still be there. Hopefully, I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but later this year there might be another drop too. But, you know, again, the best place to keep up with any of that, blackwrestling.com, or you can check the Black Wrestling Instagram. That's where you'll hear everything first. And, yeah, we drop weekly on Fridays, which seems to be a day where a lot of black wrestling podcasts
drop.
Yeah,
we drop on Fridays, too.
I don't know why that became the day for everybody, but, yeah, you can catch us there.
Apple, before the weekend vibes.
Facts.
Cut the dorking on the weekend, like usual.
Damn, you're good today.
Mm-hmm. Black is Spotify, or you're genius. You're one of the two. You're one of the two. I respect it.
Thank
I respect
you.
He's more, I lean more to genius, but
there you go.
Well,
but I appreciate you guys. I want to say to thank y'all to have me on here. I've seen you guys working for a bit. It's been
thank
dope
you.
To see other creators. I don't want to say pop out of nowhere, but like one day you don't hear about somebody, and the next day you're always hearing, you know, jobber tears. That's really dope to see.
Thank you. It actually is because to this day we still be like, yo, don't nobody listen to us.
Same thing. No, I said, who's listening? Who's even
no legit?
This?
So like when Sir Wilkins had did like a demographic like of numbers or like viewing or like are like the DMV area is like one of our hot spots, and we're like, how, like where? And then you know, of course, like us being here in New York in the tri-state area, you know, and then us being in the independent scene up here, so we, you know, definitely have that type of influence. But just to kind of seeing different hot spots and stuff like that, like I remember one time I did a podcast for a guy in like Detroit in Michigan, and then you know it just wrestling,
it's weird,
it's weird, but it's a blessing because we get to do things like this, and it's rare because like we spoke about this before, like you know it takes a, it it takes all of us to kind of like come together as a unity, and you don't really see that, you know, whether it's just in general, like of people of color coming together, not even just with wrestling. So wrestling has a whole different level of intensity and difficulty to that. But we want to thank you as much as you thank us. We want to thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, brother.
And doing our first virtual interview. Mm. Like, this was kind of cool. Now that we know that we could do this.
Like I said, anytime you guys want me to come on, I'm definitely down to a drop through. This was great.
Definitely.
Crossover episode.
We work in StreamYard, so we could have.
Listen, you know, Matt don't want the smoke. That's all. That's so what
I'll, let, I'll let him know you said that.
Yeah, let him know I said that.
Why don't we do a special episode? Are you guys around the weekend before Thanksgiving?
Should be. Yeah. Let's talk about it.
Why don't we do like something around that time? Like, we'll just do like a special. We'll get a special time, and then like we'll stream across all of our platforms, and then have all of our.
Yeah, I think it'd be.
I may have an idea for like a crossover show. Let's do something very different. Like, you know what? I'm gonna say this on air. You know, let's do like a. Are you familiar with the New Day podcast?
Mm-hmm.
You see how the New Day did like a tournament style? Like, let's do something, referring to wrestling where the best finishers, blah 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 blah. We all get listed out, blah 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 blah. We could. The stuff like that, and I think that if you do like an episode, like, because let's do something fun, you know, we could talk wrestling a thousand one time, we could argue, but it was something for the fans, B, seeing Jabba Tears and Brock wrestling together.
Yeah, we'll set it up, but let's do like on a day that we know people are going to be home,
facts,
so we can stream it across all our platforms, and it makes sense.
Facts.
I'm with it.
People will watch it.
We'll have to figure out time with Fam and Matt, but as long as we can all work together, we're good.
Right before the holidays, we can all just drop it on our drop like an extra, like a two pack,
like a bonus episode.
All right, brother.
But thanks, Kyle, so much. Once again, we appreciate you. We appreciate what you guys have done for the Black wrestling community too. So we thank you guys so much. Stay safe.
Stay
you
know, black.
Be well. Stay. He ain't got no choice. He ain't got no choice.
Can't do nothing but stay black.
There you go.
All right, y'all. Take care.
All right.
You guys can keep on. I really gotta use the restroom.
Oh, I thought you already went to the bathroom. But all right, let's, with the last, like I would say, about 10, 15 minutes of the show that we have left, let's talk about this week in wrestling. So AEW celebrates 1 year. SmackDown, once you guys hear this, SmackDown will already happen, but SmackDown is going to be celebrating their 1 year on Fox. And then I watch Impact this week.
It was solid. Shout out to Tasha Steelz.
Shout out to Sis. I be screaming in my house just for her. Like, yes, Sis! And I like the whole, as much as I don't like, I really don't like multi-person tag matches. It's just not my favorite fucking thing. But the 5-on-5 thing for the whoever's team won, then now they're in the Fatal 5-Way next week. And then whoever wins that gets the one up for like their gauntlet thing. Like it's basically their kind of like Money in the Bank kind of situation where they can challenge for any title at any time for Bound for Glory. Because they're now on the road for Bound for Glory because they have... and I think I may order it actually because it's the day, it's the night before Hell in a Cell, so it's a Saturday night. Hold on,
I guess we come over again.
Yeah,
you have a nice viewing party again,
just a little bit small one. Y'all know how small, but Bound for Glory is coming up with Impact. Where they have because I was like, when they announced Moose versus EC3 in an undisclosed location, I was like, what?
Moose.
Are you serious? And then you have, Kylie Rae versus Deanna Purrazzo for the Impact Women's title. And then you have Jordan. Shout out to Jordan Grace. She's in the X Division. I think it's a 5-way match.
Yeah, because like technically she did win the X Division title, but that's
then they gave it back. They gave it back to
the
old boy.
I like that storyline because it was a cool little like cop out. He said that, because he didn't raise it up. I was like, you know what? You're right. It's not official if you don't raise it up. Raise it up.
So they gave the title back to
the old boy.
It makes
sense. Like, honestly, one thing that I like about Impact is some people say that, Impact this, da-da-da-da. They literally scrub that bad taste that they had in everyone's mouth from TNA. Like, it was very smart for them to rebrand and still keep the concept of TNA, but took all the bad and made it good. Yeah. It changed the Impact. Because it does make more sense, you know? And the name TNA sounds kind of outdated, but its name Impact changed the logo. They doing the right stuff.
And then I love the storyline, honestly, between Rich Swann and Eric Young.
Oh, my gosh.
It's the dopest thing.
Shout out to Rich homie Swann. That's my dude. Yo, Richwan, every time I see him, man, that's my dude. He always show me love out here, B. Like, I got numerous pictures with my guy, man. Yeah, we did some.
So, no, Impact. y'all a mess. So, sorry, because I was talking about, so we're just going to jump into This Week in Wrestling with the time left. But I was talking about, I finally watched Impact this week. For the first time in like a few weeks, and I thought it was really good. So they're basically on the road to Bound for Glory. And then they're inducting Ken Shamrock in the Hall of Fame.
With The Rock showing up. Family.
With The Rock giving his few words. So, all right, real quick around the table, what are a few things this week that really caught your eye this week in wrestling? So I'll start with Mr. Black.
Wrestling was cool. But nothing really stand out to me, you know, like, it didn't. You know, nothing really stand out to me. Like, AEW was a big disappointment.
Thank you. Like, I'm glad you said
this.
It.
I say this, you know, everybody want to go, AEW suck, but my thing is this way. Yo, WWE had bad shows sometimes. Impact had bad shows sometimes. Bad shows happen across the board. So I'm not going to, oh my God, just want AEW. No, because at the end of the day, though, sometimes stuff don't jazz the correct way.
But my issue was, so this week I foregoed watching NXT, and I literally from start to finish watched AEW the other night. And because it was their 1 year anniversary. So for me as a fan of wrestling, I just, you know, that whole, I got you in the back of my head, like, give it a try. Yeah. So I literally did not flip back and forth. Mm. I just watched AEW throughout. But I was disappointed because I felt like if it's your 1 year and like this is your 1 year mark, there was no wow.
I still like
everybody kept their titles.
Don't get me wrong, Big Swole match was very good. That was a very good match.
Oh, listen, sis always gonna do
but
good.
No I matter say what this, Jim Cornette says. I said this.
I believe in you.
Like
sis.
They should have switched the title to usher in a new era of female wrestlers on their roster. You know, they should have did that. You know, I ain't the Booker man. Ha ha! I ain't Booker T. Dang, man. Dang.
You on the
but
fire.
At the end of the day, like I said before, I ain't the Booker. It was just a boring episode. You know, I seen better.
It was so lackluster. The fact that fucking Cody, I really love that Jim Cornette calls Orange Cassidy pockets. I think it's the funniest shit ever.
But
the fact that match ended up as a draw, I was like, what? Why? It was halfway decent.
It was a good
and y'all,
it was a good
and y'all
match.
Niggas had the audacity.
I think that
literally the ref was counting and then the bell rang and
it's a
then
callback,
he stopped. And I was like, what?
But it's like I guess this is like I don't know what Cody doing, whatever. I personally feel like Cody should never dye his hair back. I feel like that
he's
whole
confused.
Black Luke, like
he's confused.
I think that he listens to fans and he just did it. I don't know. But nevertheless though, it was just a boring episode. I've been watching AEW from beginning to the end. I don't watch NXT on Wednesdays. I don't care what anyone says, but I love AEW. This is one of the worst episodes. The tag team match. I low-key think that what's name was Kakus.
Trent?
I think Trent was Kakus.
Because I didn't like the fact that not only did they lose, because I really think Best Friends probably should have won the titles, but I get why they're holding it for Dashing and Wilder, because that's what I was going to call them, versus Young Bucks. And I know that's where they're going with that shit. So I get it. But it's just like, if that was the case, then why give them the fucking title match? And then on top of that, you have them have some low-key beef with fucking Rusev and fucking Kip Sabian. For what?
Yo, that match that Rusev had with those enhancement talents, that match was trash. It was so sloppy.
Oh, shout out to Sean Maluda.
Yeah, of course. Shout out to them. Shout out to Black Excellence. But overall, I just felt that it really didn't put a good taste in newer fans who's coming into that. You know, again, WWE sometimes they have bad WrestleManias, you know, like, so it has happened across the board. Even with some television shows where the season's finale look like, what the hell is this crap? Stuff just happens, you know? So is that going to deter me from watching it next week? Oh, hell no.
Because, oh, no, because I kind of want to watch the steak meeting with Jericho and MJF.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that and everything like that. They picked a bad time to set up other stuff further down the line. It should have been balls to the wall craziness. If no title was going to change hands, at least up the ante and make it like a different kind of match. You know, the Orange Cassidy match was good. All the matches was good, but some of them, like the main event, I'm looking like,
I didn't get that. I didn't get it.
I just feel like it was just like, It was just like, again.
I mean, I'm all for if this means Eddie Kingston getting the push and the title he deserves. I'm okay. I could deal with it. But I didn't get it. So, Wilkins, any thoughts this week in wrestling?
So, Raw was decent. I didn't have any major issues from what I remember about Raw. It was nothing too crazy. Loved SmackDown last week. Totally enjoyed it. I'm loving what they're doing with Jay and Roman. Like,
that was our first time. I feel like, I said in the group chat with Jabba Tia Style. Shout out to all our fam in the Carolinas. Like, we legit was. It felt like we were watching. Like, it was a viewing party within a chat for the first time, and I enjoyed SmackDown. I think more because of that.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed in what WWE is doing with the women's division right now. When it came to Raw, I was not feeling the match with Natty. It was
Natty and Lana versus Dana Brooke. And Dana Brooke.
It was a really bad match. It was like just not good. Especially when the women's division has been elevated so such a high level and regarded to be really good. And then top five of PWI is all WWE women wrestlers. PWI released their list at the top 100 female wrestlers. Top five is all WWE. The top 20, almost half of it is all WWE chicks.
But the good thing about WWE, and like you said that WWE had the best women's division. Okay, fine. I could see why you mean about that, but they have a clear advantage of every other wrestling company. They have three shows. Three shows to display women.
I understand that. But even if you go on each show, because they do have, they separate them for the most part, they're doing their thing.
Yeah, but it's easier to do that when you have three different shows. It's easier
when you have the money, but the thing about it, you also have AEW who has connections to the indies. Who everybody loves.
They're trying because they are signing some good talent.
And that's what I'm saying. But you're not using your good talent. You're not developing your good talent. You're not developing that division to be where it's supposed to be.
And then you want to use the crutch because I think, we were going to talk about Britt Baker and her comments in terms of the women's division. But Britt had mentioned in the interview she did that basically, she didn't want to blame COVID, but she put some of it on COVID because she was like, half of the women roster, the international. That they can't come here. And I was just like, honestly, that's y'all fault. Like,
but nobody could predict COVID.
No one's going to predict COVID, granted. But as Soroka just mentioned, you out here, you're picking up women from the indies that are in the States and you're still doing nothing with them. Absolutely nothing.
But the best, I've always said is this.
And then you grab the NWA Women's Champion. I'm more invested in someone else's company's women's.
But they needed that. They needed Thunder Rosa to give them legitimacy because they lacked that. Yes, your current champion is phenomenal in Japan, but when you're not building her up here.
And she don't translate on TV.
They haven't made her be able to translate. You know what I mean? Wednesday, somebody mentioned this dude, Trey. He said, everybody's turning their backs on NXT and sipping on the AEW Kool-Aid.
No.
No, but yes, there is. There has been a turn. If you've been watching, I usually watch the trends, what's going on. A lot of people are watching AEW now. And one of my biggest things is that, and I think we spoke about it with Cal earlier, is NXT hasn't developed to a show. It still hasn't developed to a show that it needs to be at. They're slow. I've seen that the work's coming in of them doing that, but they're not giving me a lot of long-term storylines, and they're not really building.
They're cheating themselves now.
They're cheating. Because now you have a two-hour spot. Now you have that. And I think they're working towards it because that's why they changed the arena up. That's why they did certain things up.
They're trying,
but they need to do it even a little bit more. You guys were talked about the last week on Wednesday, AEW, the show, the one-year anniversary. You guys are right.
It's fucking lackluster.
Can't even hold you guys where it wasn't anything over, but we can always talk about the 25th anniversary Raw. That was a little.
Thank you. I hate when, like I said earlier, like I said before, WWE had some stinkers, real stinkers. If people have amnesia, like, blah, 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 blah. It's a hot thing to say to crap on somebody.
But it's also, I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's also the fact that this is your 1 year.
You're early
in the game.
I agree.
So you're early in the game. And WWE tried to make the Raw 25th anniversary a big deal with the multiple places. It doesn't translate well.
It didn't.
They tried. But
it didn't even feel like AEW tried it. It felt like a regular ass Dynamite.
It felt like that. It was setting up for other stuff. I didn't like that.
Now, I didn't have a problem with the Orange Cassidy match.
No.
With the
I just didn't like the ending.
The reason why I say that is because it had to keep Cody looking strong and also had to keep Cassidy looking strong because Cassidy's their next guy up. Now, my thing with Cody, I know he spoke about there's no heels, there's no faces in AEW.
That's stupid.
Bruh, he has to turn.
Yeah.
In order for this to make sense,
yeah.
In order
in the long term, he has to turn. Shout out to the people from the Euro Sports Show and other people. They've been comparing Cody to Triple H. And they talk about Triple H's golden shovel years. Wait, let me get there.
Looking at you.
The fuck are you looking at me
but
for?
The thing about the golden shovel years, he was a heel. Yes. So.
It made sense.
It made sense. And you know what? You're going to get mad and you're going to hate him. And even when you come back, you look at it from a 2020 high and say like, yo, that was fucked up. But he was a heel during that time. He probably was. And honestly speaking, heels aren't supposed to be going that over that much. Because your heels, you're supposed to put over the babyface. Babyface is the face of the company.
Yeah.
And totally understandable. But he was a heel throughout those golden shovel years to a point when he was on, I think he was on, I'll never forget this episode, he was on Jay Leno. And the crowd was booing him when he came out. He was like, you guys could do better than that. And that was a time that it was okay because he was a heel. And I go back to Cody, like, you winning all these matches is great, but I'm not feeling sorry for you. I don't want to root for you now.
I don't.
Because you're constantly winning. And this is just goes to how everybody is in regular life. People hated the Chicago Bulls because they kept winning. People hated the Warriors. Why? Because they kept
winning. And everybody hates LeBron.
Everybody hates LeBron because when you win so much, you kind of turn to become the bad guy. It goes back to that Batman quote.
Yeah.
Die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah.
Now, as Cody rises up and constantly beats everybody, you got to turn because it's going to make more sense and it's going to give the title a little bit more oomph to it.
Yeah.
You are right. That black hair shouldn't have left. That dark image was perfect when he came back. You beat Brody. That's fine. No, you're not a fan of it. I understand that.
I wasn't.
You were okay with it, but you beat Brody. And then during the match with him and Cassidy, there was a beauty behind it. He was getting frustrated.
Yeah.
He was getting frustrated because it's like, who is this kid? Why is he keeps doing this? And I'm just like, okay, fuck. I don't know why you blonded your hair, but you should go heel next.
Yeah.
That needs to happen now because now you've done everything as a white hat baby face. You need to turn, but I don't know if he's going to do that. And that was my only like takeaway from that. I don't like really Best Friends. They look. I hate how they look physically, but the match wasn't that bad. AEW wasn't bad to me. I see what they're doing. They're building something. MJF and Chris Jericho. I'm sold on that little feud that they got going. The potential of that. The little steak dinner that you talked about. That's kind of cool.
That's gonna be golden next week. That's the only thing that I'm looking forward to next week.
But again, this is the wrong time to set up something else.
Well, yes and no. I understand the setup because they have Full Gear coming up.
Yeah.
So you having a pay-per-view literally less than a month, you want to set something. You want to have things that make sense.
Sorry. Breaking news. This has been online. So this is also a really huge rumor. I've been told, this is WrestleVotes. They're usually like legit, like good.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I've been told that the typical weekly live event loop.
I was just reading that, yeah.
For Friday TV plus house show Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, won't be coming back to 2022.
No. But we'll come back to 2022. And it's going to be that's the setup. So Friday TV, house show Saturday and Sunday, and Monday, Raw. Yeah. So they're only going to be working, so Russell's probably going to be working like 4 days a week.
Yeah.
Moving forward for the most part.
Because remember, they were doing house shows in between Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, so 2012 is going to be what they're going to do, like you guys said. But this is I just got a message about it.
Okay.
I mean,
well, that's a good way to end the show.
Yeah. Overall, like, this week of wrestling was a lot of setups from WWE.
Yeah, because you got Hell in a Cell. Because, they announced
Hell in a Cell viewing party at Legends.
There you go. 1 week away. Because they announced Sasha Banks. Oh, yeah. Wear your costumes. It's cute. They announced Sasha Banks versus Bayley in Hell in a Cell. They announced for the first time ever an I Quit match in Hell in a Cell with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso. I actually don't care for that.
But I like it because, well, okay.
I think it makes sense for them, but just as a wrestling fan, like I feel like when it comes to stipulations, you want to be able to put any two people in that and be like, okay, go. And I Quit Hell in a Cell, I feel like it's just overstimulating to me. Like, just to me. Because it's just like, you already in an apparatus where you're already locked in. So you have, but now you have no choice but to, because growing up, any I Quit match has been all over the fucking place.
So
now you're confiding with
me. I don't understand, though. Like, fans complain about WWE not trying to do something different.
I mean, it's not really something different. You're literally combining two things.
It doesn't matter, though, because one thing that I like, I grew to like Hell in a Cell pay-per-view because you look forward to seeing Hell in a Cell.
Oh, absolutely. For
that
one night.
Like, everyone's saying that, oh, I don't like it because I remember the old days. But yet now, you're looking forward to that one time a year, Hell in a Cell. And they're not oversaturated throughout the whole year. That's what keeps the whole mystique of Hell in a Cell. Just like Elimination Chamber. You don't see Elimination Chamber no other time but at Elimination Chamber. That's good. It draws you to that. That's what I like about it. But having an I Quit match, it says like, you know what? I'm going to up the stakes. Boom. You do this.
But that's like saying Hell in a Cell first blood match.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it because I see where you're coming from. Because you already have a stipulation. Why do you need to put another stipulation on top of it?
Right. And then watch. This week he's going to ask something else. Special guest referee.
I think it's like, because it goes back to it's been done so much. The Hell in a Cell has been done so many times. So you up the ante a little bit to distract the fans from them being in a cell. Yeah. That's the storyline that's being told because now it goes back, if you look back at it, to Clash of Champions.
Right, because he didn't say I quit. The towel was thrown in,
and so it's like, you know what? I'm gonna make sure that
if he loses, it comes from him. Yeah. No, like I said, it works for the storyline.
Yeah, but it takes away. You're overstimulating because you see so many things, but it brings down the Hell in the Cell and focuses on what needs to be focused on, which is that their rivalry. Because the Hell in a Cell kind of sometimes takes away from things. Like if you go back to Seth and The Fiend, we were focused on that red Hell in a Cell.
Everybody hated it. I loved it.
We were focused on the cell.
The ending was stupid.
It made sense.
No. I'm going to say this right now.
I think at that moment, everybody was upset about it.
Let me finish. That Hell in a Cell, it was too ahead of its time. It was a year too early. Because I'm explaining to you, if they do it now, it will be more cinematic and you could get away with that ending. Then it didn't make no sense because we was not living the COVID where, you know, having these cinematic matches, nobody was doing that on that level. Mm. It was too ahead of its time. Bray Wyatt, his match with Randy Orton was too ahead of its time. It could work now during the COVID era because, again, it could be more cinematic.
But that feel and the crowd being, I just think all the elements for that, it wouldn't have worked in a COVID. Like, I wouldn't have been as interested in
again,
it. But
it makes
not everything has to be cinematic either.
But again, he's too ahead of his time. It will work.
I agree. Bray's level of creativity is on a different
It will work atmosphere. Because imagine that the same ending in the whole cinematic universe where, like, he's beating him up, and to the point, that's the ending where, like, he beat him up all the way to the ring. Then the ref's like, no, we gotta stop this because I don't know what happened to him. And then they stop it, Bray pops up, boop! It will work then. That match, Bray Wyatt, body for work, before the COVID, was too ahead of his time. Now it makes sense.
Now he's catching up, and now he's with Alexa Bliss, and now they're both on Raw, which is awesome. All right.
It's awesome sauce.
It's awesome sauce. Like, both of them doing Sister Abigail on Monday. Woo! Shit was amazing. All right. Once again, we want to thank Cal from Black Wrestling Podcast for joining us this week. We appreciate all the love and support that our brothers in wrestling have given us. So we appreciate him joining and taking some time out this week. And then what's going on? Any new shows or anything? Check out Two and a Half Bros. Check out Mr. Black Show. Yeah. Check out your sports. And of course, you can always check out the Jabba Tears podcast.
And Talk of Champions.
And Talk of Champions. Shout outs to Stan the Man.
And
Shantice. But once again, you can check out everybody under the network on the Jabba Tears podcast YouTube page. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, all of that jazz. Invite a friend. Once again, Legends. We return back to Legends for Hell in the Cell next Sunday, October 25th. If you want to wear a costume, be your favorite wrestler, be creative, do it, come out, support. We appreciate all the love and support, especially those that came out for, Clash of Champions?
Yeah.
Clash of Champions. So once again, we'll be back at Legends in about a week. So we'll do that. We'll do predictions next week for Hell in a Cell and for Bound for Glory. And then anything else before we go?
Nope.
All right. Well, once again, thank Kyle so much for joining us this week. Make sure to follow them on their Instagram, at Black Wrestling, on Instagram and Twitter and all that jazz. But once again, I'm Janelle from HR here with Star Records and Mr. Black. #BlackExcellence #WeAreOut.